he choked out, in one-word gasps.
That monster is back! Something is riding it! Some savages are killing them in the village!
Old Man Fish nodded once and dumped water on the fire. Before it remembers us, just like we rehearsed it.
Oh, come on! Tully snarled. Timmy's probably seeing things.
The tree cut loose with the granddaddy of all blue bolts. It filled the forest with its glow and banged like heavenly lightning.
Holy shit, Tully whispered.
He took off like a stampeded bear. The others were not too far behind. Smeds was thoughtful as he trotted along, his arms filled with gear. Fish's precautions had paid off. Maybe. Like the old boy said, they weren't out nothing getting away for a while. From behind came a flare in a rosy peach shade, answered by another blast of blue. Something yowled like the lost soul of a great cat. Tully claimed Fish thought too much. But here was Fish, turning out to do more and more of the leading, while Tully eased into Smed's old place as shirker and complainer. Timmy wasn't changing, though. He was still the handy runt with a thousand stories. Fish and Timmy were putting more into this than Tully. Smedge didn't think he could cut them. Especially not if the payoff was as big as Tully expected. No need to be bloody greedy, then. Smedge squatted beside his log, placed his stuff in the nest of branches left to hold it. Tully was on the river already, splashing away.
Shh,
Fish said. Everybody froze, except Tully out there, splashing away. Old Man Fish listened. All Smeds heard was a lot of silence. Nor was there any lightning anymore. Fish relaxed. Nothing moving.
We got time to strip.
Smeds took the old man's word, but he didn't waste any time getting naked and shoving off. Lying on his chest on a log in the middle of a river in the middle of the night, Smeds felt the first nibbles of panic. He could not see the island for which they were headed, though Fish said there was no way they could miss it from where they had left the bank. The current would carry them right to it. That was no reassurance. He could not swim. If he missed the island, he would drift, maybe, all the way to the sea. A sudden barrage of blue flares illuminated the river. He was surprised to see that Fish and Timmy were nearby, and for all his furious splashing, Tully was only 100 feet ahead. He felt an urge to say something, anything, just to draw courage from the act of communication. But he had nothing to say. And silence was imperative. No point asking for trouble. During the coming hour, he relived every moment of fear he'd ever known. Every instance of misfortune and disaster. He was very ragged when he spied the darker loom of the island dead ahead. It wasn't much of an island.